Today on We Really Like Musicals and We Have Opinions About Them, so we made this podcast to tell you our opinions about them, parentheses, the musicals. We are talking about Les Mis. Look down and listen up, lovely ladies and gentlemen. If you dreamed a dream of us doing a Les Mis episode, then you'll be in a castle on cloud nine with a heart full of love. Who am I, you ask? 24601! Hey everybody, welcome to the podcast. Welcome to We Really Like Musicals and We Have Opinions About Them, so we made this podcast to tell you our opinions about them, parentheses, the musicals. I was thinking while I was saying that, so that's why it came out so slow.
Yeah, it's the slowest you've ever done.
Yeah. I'm James and...
I'm Elise.
And guys, we got a good one today because we're talking about Les Mis or Les.
That's it.
Yeah. Guys, today we're talking about Les Mis, a.k.a. Valjean v. Javert, Dawn of Justice. Thanks to Laura Elizabeth for that alternate title. Remember, guys, you can send us alternate titles on Instagram and Twitter. On Twitter, we're WRLM Podcast, and on Instagram, we really like musicals. I've got some special guests with me. And Elise, I'm going to let you introduce them. Because you know them so well. Oh, okay. My brother Nathan, who's been on an episode before.
Yeah.
And he brought along his wife, Catherine, my sister-in-law.
Hey, we are here.
Hello.
Wow, standing ovation.
Yep.
Just me.
Glad to be here, Jim.
Oh boy. Okay. I feel like I don't know where to go from here.
Well, let's figure out why they wanted to be guests on this particular episode. Let's figure it out.
Okay.
Let's just figure it out.
You ask him. Go for it.
I think it's because you guys like to be sad.
Oh, you're figuring it. You're trying to figure out why they're on this episode.
Yeah. It's like a mystery.
Is that why you guys are here?
Well,
do you want to be sad? Do you like to be
guessing.
Sad?
Keep guessing. If it's close to right, we'll say red. If it's off, we'll say black.
Oh. That makes sense.
James, your turn to guess.
You hate music.
Black.
I forget what black was.
I don't
good
know.
Or
Me
bad?
Too.
Black just, is bad.
Yeah.
Wait.
Wow.
I'm so sorry.
How about let's just do this? Nathan?
Yeah.
Why are you guys here?
Oh, because I said, hey, whenever we're in town, we should be on your podcast. And you were like, oh, wow,
no.
Do you guys like Les Mis?
Oh, yeah, that's what I said.
And I said, yeah, in fact, that would be great because we like the movie, but we've also seen a live production of it. And so we can have that take on it.
So you guys have seen it live. I've just seen the movie version. Elise... This was your first time seeing it.
Sure enough.
What'd you think?
Sad.
Sad.
Miserable.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, in a word, yes.
You sent me a video last night of you just crying your little eyes out.
Yeah. It was emotional, man.
Yeah.
Also, I just thought that'd be really funny.
Oh, okay. So you were acting.
I mean, I hate to brag, but yeah, totally. I had avoided seeing this movie because I didn't think I would like it. And then once I watched it, I remembered everybody saying how sad it was, but I kind of forgot about that. It's been so long.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wasn't prepared. I hadn't mentally prepared myself to be wrecked.
Okay. Nathan, for those of us who have not seen this musical,
mm-hmm.
and I'm... said that like I would be one of them, but I'm not, because I've seen it. Could you summarize the plot? And I want you to do it in your best Russell Crowe singing voice.
Oh,
he's the worst, right?
You know what's funny is the first time I saw it, people were saying Russell Crowe was horrible at singing. And I remember walking away going, I don't see what the big deal is. And then I watched it again. And I was like, oh, I see it. Yeah, he's bad. Yeah. But please do your impression.
Okay.
This movie is about the guy who was a convict once.
Catherine's so embarrassed right now.
And he's released and he's on parole, and he decides to keep being a bad guy, but then he meets a priest, and the priest tells him to make better decisions, and so he decides to start his life anew.
You're moving your arms too much. You need to keep your arms straight.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Just like Russell Crowe. Yeah.
Cut to several years later. He is now a different guy. He calls himself something different. And there's a girl who has a kid, and he gets a key. I don't remember exactly.
Oh my gosh.
She gets fired, and he decides that he will look after her child. So he goes and finds the kid, and then they run away some more. And then cut to several years later, he's hiding with that that girl who falls in love with a guy she's literally never said a word to. And they decide to have a French Revolution, and he's one of the guys that's doing it. And he's also still trying not to get caught by the cops. And
I think that's a good place to stop now. Yeah. Okay. That's good.
Thanks.
Catherine's
I mean,
please.
I could do that. I could keep doing that voice if you want.
I feel like now I don't know what the movie's about. Like I knew before.
More
now
confused.
I don't know.
Catherine, Nathan loves this movie. I feel like I get mixed signals from you about this movie. What do you feel about this movie?
It makes me mad.
It makes you mad?
Yeah.
How come?
Mostly because it is very long. And
it is long.
I don't know. It's just so long. Like, that's really it.
There's no real reason other than it's long. You feel like it's unnecessarily long?
Yeah, yeah.
If we were, when we were
There's
watching it.
There's a lot of silly songs. Not silly songs, but songs that I'm just like, okay, we get it. And, oh, and like, yeah, like, I feel like you're about to say this, but when we were watching it, like, is there an intermission or am I making that up? There's like an intermission. And I said to Nathan, I was like, almost in a panic, like, this movie hasn't started yet.
Yeah.
Like, that was all plot.
We were 50 minutes in and got to a point where it's like, and then we get to the French Revolution time. And Catherine's like, this is the movie. Yeah. The movie's starting now.
Yeah. I could see that being like, when you realize that it kicks in like anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
I get
very
that.
Much.
So, but you guys saw it live. Did you have that same feeling live? Did you just want to get out of the building?
There actually was an intermission when we saw it live.
And that was so weird that it was much more interesting.
Musically, Elise, what did you think of it musically? Because obviously it was a very sad musical plot-wise, but were you engaged in the music at all? Was it up your alley?
Huh?
Was it up your alley?
Up my alley.
Your barricaded alley.
In a way, it was just, I mean, I guess that's a common theme, but I just was really perturbed by Russell Crowe's voice. But I was trying really hard to not let that, like, affect my thought process on it, because I understood that during the play versions, you know, that would not be a factor. There's a lot of songs where I felt like they just weren't very creative in the way that the song was going. It was just up, down, up, down, up, down, like same notes over and over. And there were some songs that I felt like were beautiful and amazing. And then there were other songs that I was like, next.
Yeah, I think the problem with a musical like this where there's very little dialogue is you do have these songs that they're good songs, they're whole songs. And then you have songs that are just like, just to get the point across. They're like, okay, now we just need to say something. But Nathan, you like the music a lot, do you not?
Yeah, I like it a whole lot. Like, I listen to the soundtrack all the time.
He knows all the words.
Bring it on. How does it start?
Bum, 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 bum.
Yeah, that's accurate.
Yeah. And Russell Crowe busts in. He's like, no, prisoner 21601. You told me something I'm around me. You know what that means?
I don't really know what I'm talking about, but I think that it's a lot more, like, compared to more modern musicals, it's a lot closer to, like, an operatic style.
Yeah.
And I think that's interesting and cool. And a lot of the themes that, like, Elise was talking about, they repeat themselves, but I think that's very much on purpose. Like, I think, like, because I was saying to Nathan, like, jokingly, I was like, oh, that's... I don't know what Russell Crowe's name is in the movie, but, like, oh, that's Joker. His theme. Like,
oh, yeah,
joking, but, like, he very much has, like... a theme that you recognize every time he comes. Like, you hear his theme, and like, I think they mean for it to be recognizable.
Right.
And I like that.
All right. Well, we have so many people here. Let's get into it. I'll start with Nathan. Favorite song. Do you have a favorite song?
I think so. Okay. Well, it's tough.
I think so.
And this is lame.
Lame is.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
I want it to be like one of the really cool songs. Like, I really love Master of the House because I think that song's super fun. Mm-hmm. But if I'm going to just pick a song off the Les Mis soundtrack to listen to, it's probably going to be Empty Chairs and Empty Tables, even though that's one of the most depressing songs there is. It's the whole song is like, oh, my friends were trying to do something good here and they all died.
Yeah.
Huh.
And so this is Eddie Redmayne in the movie version, the 2012 movie version.
Yeah, Newt Scamander.
Yes. He's singing something about Hogwarts.
That's what he was singing about.
No, you do a pretty good impression of him, too. Can you give us a Eddie Redmayne singing Empty Chairs and Empty Tables?
Yeah, he's like, there's a grief that can't be spoken as a pain goes on and on.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it. But your neck didn't pop out as much as he did.
It didn't look like all my air had to come out of my body when I sang that.
That's a weird one to, that is a weird one to be your favorite song.
It's true, though, because every time, like, if we're going to listen to a Les Mis song, that's the one we listen to in the car every single time.
Let's skip to Elise now. Elise, favorite song.
Now, I liked the classic, the Dream one, but if I'm trying not to be too basic, which I am, I would go with the On My Own one.
On My Own.
Yeah.
Nathan?
Mm-hmm.
Remind us how that goes.
Yeah, give us a little bit of that.
He goes, I'm a girl that's in love with Eddie Redmayne.
No.
What? Wait, no. She's Russell Crowe?
Yeah. Everyone in this musical is Russell Crowe, I think.
Oh, that's horrible.
That would be the best version of this.
No, so this is Eponine. Eponine.
Yeah.
She's singing. That's your favorite song?
That's my fave song.
She does a good job.
No, I know. She does a great job. I said that girl, I thought she was one of the best singers in the whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
Why is that your favorite?
It's just really pretty, but it's also got that really nice, like, depressing, you know, vibe to it, which I just bathe in that. I think it's great.
Pretty and depressing.
So what about you then, James?
Me then. Me.
That's it.
My favorite is At the End of the Day. At the end of the day.
That's a good one.
Oh, yeah. Remember that one.
That's right after Jean Valjean sings his, like, soliloquy. And then we zoom into, like, the streets of Paris, I guess.
Yeah. And it's, like, disgusting.
Yeah. But, like, I love songs like that. Like, my favorite song in Oliver was Consider Yourself, when they're like, welcome to London. Like, my favorite songs are like the welcome to wherever we are.
Like in Little Shop of Horrors, the downtown song.
Yeah, downtown. I don't know why I like songs like that. Catherine, what's your favy?
I think I know which one it is, but I don't know what it's called. But it's the one that Hugh Jackman sings at the beginning after the Bishop thing. That sings all by himself?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's like, I would be fine if the movie stopped right after that.
Yeah.
Like, it's that like, was awesome. This is just a story
that
about
was
a guy
so
who
good.
This is a story about
that
a guy that
a
decides
movie.
To live a better
yeah,
life.
Yeah, but like that he does such a good job.
Yeah.
Like, not even it's just, so like raw and like, sometimes he doesn't sound that great, but like, he does.
Yeah.
At the same time.
I think this would be a good point to say that if you didn't know, this musical, they recorded everything live. Like, normally they would, like, record it beforehand and then lip sync it for the filming of it. But they recorded all the vocals live. So, like, that's probably one of the best examples in the movie, other than I would say maybe Anne Hathaway's bit. But that's probably one of the best ones of you just get this guy just singing. And it's like raw, like you said, and just straight up to the camera.
Like for most people in the movie, like him and Anne Hathaway, it's like being able to do it live helps them like, oh, I can act while I'm singing.
Yeah.
Unlike Russell Crowe, where he has to focus so hard on his singing that he can't act.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, the singing hinders the acting.
Yeah.
Okay, so least favorite songs. Least favorite song.
I would say probably like anything that Russell Crowe sings. Mm-hmm. Just off the top of my head. There's so many songs. There's so many to choose from. But I would just say if he sings it, I'm probably not that into it.
Well, some of the ones where it's like at the beginning and Look Down, when he comes in, you're like, oh, what? And then you're like, well, he's just kind of like talking to the guy. So it's like, what? Like, it's kind of excusable.
You want to give him the benefit of the doubt?
Yeah. Like maybe he's just one of the characters that just kind of sings to the other people that sing good. But then when they stop and give him his own like solo, yeah, you're like, what? No, why? But why? I'm going to piggyback on that. And see, I had a hard time with this one because I think a lot of the songs are pretty, but they're just not very entertaining to me. I'm on board with you. I don't like Russell Crowe's voice at all. So then I had to think, okay, there's the song he sings, Stars, and then there's also his death. And I was like, well, the suicide scene's probably more plot essential.
Yeah.
And so I was like, so I'll go with Stars as not being that good of a song. But then we were listening to Stars earlier, and we were like, it's actually not a bad song. It's just Russell Crowe singing it again. So, I mean, I wanted to say Stars was my least favorite, but I don't know. I think it's just Russell Crowe. Can we all not have a least favorite song and just say Russell Crowe? I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what this half says. So, Catherine, let's go to you. What's your least favorite?
I don't think that I have one. I really do think that I like all the songs as they were written. Like, I think they're all good.
Yeah.
Maybe Russell Crowe shouldn't sing some of them.
Yeah.
But I don't know, like, because I'm the same as you. Like, the Stars song, it's a good song, but I can't think of, like, a song that I just don't like, really.
Nathan, you feel like, you look like you're about to explode. What do you have to say?
Oh, I don't like Castle on a Cloud. Like, who cares?
Castle on a Cloud?
It's the little girl singing about how, like, oh, I wish I wasn't here. I wish I could be on a castle on a cloud.
And that's Cosette singing that, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I thought that was a sweet song.
It gets us to connect
with her because at that point we don't, like, they're talking about this daughter that, what's her name?
Fanta.
Yeah. Wanna Fantine? Don't you wanna? They're talking about this girl, and then all of a sudden we get to see the girl, and we have this connection with the girl.
Yeah.
I don't know if I don't really remember how the song goes, but I don't. I think she had like a sweet little voice.
Yeah.
I liked her cute little baby voice.
Yeah. Little baby.
Spoiled little baby voice.
Yeah. No, I didn't say she did a bad job. It's just like,
You don't care.
I don't care. I don't care about that song. Like, she's all like, oh my gosh, my daughter's dying. And it's like, oh my gosh, that's really sad. And then it cuts to her. And I think they could have done enough just to show like, hey, look, this little girl is in a really crappy situation just by like immediately Helena Bonham Carter being like, hey, we're opening and then go fetch me water. And you just see this girl is just defeated and looking at like, oh, I wish I could have that doll instead of just singing this song that doesn't have any sort of crescendos or anything. It's just the most flat song. And
I'd rather listen to her sing than Russell Crowe.
That's fair.
Well, I was going to ask, what if Russell Crowe sang it? Would you like it more?
I think I might.
What if he just... on the cloud. We need to get you to just dub every vocal in this and just like have the Russell Crowe version of Les Mis.
Ugh.
Ew. No.
Catherine's like, divorce? All right, guys, we're going to do something we've never done before right here. We're going to take a break and show you something that we actually worked on after this episode was recorded. So we were just talking about what if Russell Crowe had sung Castle on a Cloud. Well, we actually recorded that, and we want to show it to you right now. So take a listen.
There is a castle on a cloud. I like to go there in my sleep. Aren't any floors for me to sweep. Not in my castle on a cloud. There is a lady all in white. Holds me and sings a lullaby. She's nice to see and she's soft to touch. She says, Javert, I love you very much. I know a place where no one's lost. I know a place where no one cries all is not enough. Not in my natural order club.
Russell Crowe, you were great in A Beautiful Mind and Gladiator.
Yeah.
Don't sing.
That's the thing. Like, Russell Crowe's a good actor.
Yeah, except for if he tries to sing.
It does feel like it hindered him. Like, if you watch him, it feels like he's not acting to the best of his potential.
I agree, but I have this, maybe I'm just pretending.
Only been pretending.
Stop. But I think, like, in my head, I'm like, and I think I thought this the first time I watched it, I was like, oh, that's his character. Like, he's emotionless. There's no facial expressions. And I think maybe I went with that because I was like, I don't know how else to explain this.
Yeah. You were like, maybe Javert's just constipated all the time.
Yeah. But I still pretend that when I watch it because I don't want to, like, it hurts my feelings. Like, I don't want to think Russell Crowe's that terrible.
This is a random question, but is there any part in the musical where you guys get goosebumps?
I think, like, the first time I saw it and Hugh Jackman sang his soliloquy, I think then I was just like, holy crap.
The only thing that came to mind for me was the Dream Song, which it sounds so cliche almost, because after that movie, everybody talked about Anne Hathaway. And, like, she does a killer job, and she's only in the movie for, like, 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. But that, like, for some reason, that makes such an impact, that one song.
I think the Dream Song, but there was, like, that one part, and I haven't heard it enough to know what it is, but that one part when she gets real raspy and angry in her voice, and that's kind of where I was like, ugh, because it just kind of got me a little bit. Whoa, it was a little intense. I have a question. So we're bashing Russell Crowe a lot, but my question is, when you guys have watched you've watched it on stage, are those songs more impactful? Do you feel like they're better? You care more about them, et cetera?
Yeah, this would be a good time to talk about your live Les Mis experience.
Okay. It was weird. We were fully expecting it to just be straightforward Les Mis. This was in Dallas. And
several years ago.
Yeah. And so it was like a pretty real deal theater and stuff like that. And so I had pretty high expectations.
I just got Nathan tickets because he liked it. I didn't really care.
First thing that happens is bum, 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 bum. Out come a bunch of guys dressed as like a SWAT team wearing like bulletproof vests and stuff and helmets, carrying AK-47s. To the front of the stage.
And you're like, oh no.
Like, what the heck is going on? And then Jean Valjean comes out. And he's chained to a bunch of other people and looks like they're dressed like the Les Mis time period.
They had cell phones.
Well, not at that part.
They're slaves.
Not a great prison system. Like, you're chained together, but you can text. And then Javert comes out and he's just dressed like a police chief, basically. So that was weird. That was jarring to see. It goes on pretty normally as far as seeming time appropriate, like time period appropriate, up until the Master of the House song, in which they go in and it looks time period appropriate, except for all the people sitting in those ratty tables in their ratty clothes with laptops and cell phones.
That's weird.
I don't know what they were thinking.
Were they going for like a steampunk thing where it's like future mixed with Victorian, but they were going like French Revolution mixed with like California circa 2010.
California cell phones. Yeah, I don't know. And then, well, even little things that they thought would be cool changes that just don't make sense. In the movie, they hand Valjean papers that say that like you're a criminal, you're on parole, and people will know that about you because you have to show them these papers whenever you want to get work and stuff like that. And then he skips his parole. Well, in this version, they decided that instead of papers, you get a tattoo on your chest of your number, and so people can see that you are an inmate, which is fine if that's the way you want to go, except for the whole confusion of like, oh, they think someone else is me. They think this other guy's a convict that has my numbers tattooed on his chest. Like, no one's walking around being like, I feel like I just want to get 24601 tattooed on my chest. And then they find him later. They're like, oh, you're a convict, because that's a guy that ran away. And he's like, ah, crap. Oops. I knew I shouldn't have done that. Like, that's not how that would have gone. And as far as the Javert songs being better, I thought they were, except for the death scene where he kills himself. He's like standing on top of this banister, and then the lights just go dark because they needed time for them to hook himself to like a harness. And then he stands on top of the thing. The whole play, there's just been like furniture, like tables and bikes and stuff like that, just hanging from the ceiling. And you know, don't know why. Until that moment, he leans forward like he's jumping off of this railing, and he just suspends in the air, and all the stuff that was hanging from the ceiling raises up to try to be like, he's falling. But he doesn't fall. He's just sitting there, and this stuff just kind of moves, and then it goes black. And you're like, so he's, what?
If they had him attached to all the ropes, why didn't they just let him go?
I don't know. It was weird. So yeah, the songs were better.
The songs were better.
Because this guy could sing. This guy could sing for sure.
Well, see, and that's weird too. I just feel like there's millions and billions of people. Why can't we find somebody who can act and can sing?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he didn't want to do it.
They forced him.
Yeah, they made him do it. He's like, guys, I can't sing.
It's just a musical.
Where there's no dialogue.
You won't be singing that much. You just have the same amount of solos as Jean Valjean.
Do you guys want to rate some facts I have?
Yeah.
True.
Yes.
All right, it's time to rate my facts.
Rate my fact.
And that's a fact.
Guides.
Guides?
Guides and gouds. Since we were just talking about Javert, did you know that the character Javert says his own name 6 times in the film? That's the first fact I'm starting with, because I read that and I was like, why is this fact on the internet? Who cares?
And you said, I'll share that with them.
Yeah.
I got to give that a 6.
Oh.
Okay. I feel like we need to explain what Rate My Facts is. Even though we don't really know what it is.
Yeah, I would like to know what it is.
Yeah, basically I say a fact and then I try to get a 10 rating. Like a 1 out of 10, I try to get a 10. Not 1 out of 10.
What does 10 mean? 10, like, it's a fact.
10 means good job.
It means it's a good fact. You like that fact.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
I base it on the way you deliver it. I mean, that's mixed in. That's not the only thing, of course.
I think that's fair. Just like we're trying to rate the songs that Russell Crowe sings based on how he delivers them.
Yeah. I'm the Russell Crowe in this game.
Oh, that's sad.
Oh, it sounds like you need to start doing some facts in Russell Crowe's voice.
Oh, no, I can't do it. Yeah, like you can.
Try. Do that fact again.
The character Javert says his name 6 times throughout the film.
No, that's too much. He just sticks to 2 notes.
Oh, okay.
We're doing too many notes.
Well, I'm not going to do it.
Except for the one time he goes really low for no reason.
We see each other play.
That's my favorite.
Okay, so yeah, I'm trying to get a 10 out of all 3 of you.
Total?
Yes. No. Wait, I'm trying to get a 30 total.
I think you got a good shot of getting 10 if we all add them up.
Okay, so Elise has given me a 6 for the 6 Javerts.
You got it.
Which should be the best sequel to Les Mis, the 6 Javerts.
The sequel to that and 7 Brides for 7 Brothers?
Yes. Catherine, what will you give that fact? Make me happy.
Well, I think maybe like 4.
Okay. Okay. 4.
It's not the coolest fact I've ever heard.
So I got a 10 to combined with Elise's so far.
Well, Nathan? We're not doing that.
It wasn't good.
And no, it's not a good fact. It's not a good fact. Come on. Don't just stare at me.
I'm going to give it the amount of times that I would have guessed he says his name. And that's 3.
You would have guessed he said his name.
Because I knew he said his name several times. I would have guessed just 3 times. But I believe you that it's 6.
Thank you.
But I'm giving you a 3.
Oh, all right. So I got 13 out of 30 possible points on that one.
Not great.
But it's a good start. It's
quick
can
math.
Only go up. Right, guys?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Right, guys?
Unless we give you worse scores.
All right. Well, let's try. Let's see. Helena Bonham Carter.
Who's that?
Helena Bonham Carter, she played Madame, and you're going to have to help me, Nathan, Thernander?
I don't know her
Bellatrix?
Name in this. Yeah.
Bellatrix. Yeah.
Gotcha. I don't know her name.
Well, we have Bellatrix and Newt Scamander.
I don't know either of their names. I know I'm like Master of the House and his wife.
Yeah, Master of the House.
Well, we can just say that.
I think it's Thénardier.
All right.
Let's go with that.
Say it as American as you can.
Okay. Thénardier.
Ms. Thénardier.
Let's just call her Miss Master of the House.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mrs. of the House.
Mrs. of the House. She played, obviously, Mrs. of the House, and she played Miss Lovett in Sweeney Todd. That parallels Ginny Galloway, who was the original Mrs. of the House, and who also played Miss Lovett. Gosh, this is taking too long. This is confusing. Basically, she played Miss Lovett in Sweeney Todd and Mrs. of the House. And the original person who did that on Broadway also did both roles. Gosh, that makes sense.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yep, got it. I get it now.
Oh my gosh.
It makes sense because the characters are essentially the same.
That's what I think.
But maybe I just think that because I've seen Helena Bonham Carter play both. And she has one role that she can play.
It's not true. I said, remember Fight Club?
Fight Club. She's very different.
She plays that in Fight Club. She's just a dirty woman.
She is a dirty woman. All right. So just rate it then. We'll start with Elise again because you've been so quiet on this. Are you just taking it all in?
I was laughing.
Oh, that's right.
The presentation was just a little bit, it was okay. So I'm going to give it a 4.7.
You liked that there were six Javerts more than that? This one was actually a real fact.
You know, when you think about it, you don't normally know how many times somebody said their own name in a movie. Mm. So
that's true.
It's kind of interesting.
Okay, so 4.7. Thanks for nothing. Catherine.
You're welcome.
So, despite your presentation.
Yes, thank you. Just like Russell Crowe.
Yeah.
You said you wanted to be Russell Crowe, though.
You are Russell.
I am.
I think that it was a 7.
Wow. 7.
Wow.
Yeah, I think that's neat.
Yeah,
that's
neat-o. Think it's neat, too.
I think it's cool.
Nathan. Brother. Blood.
I think it's cool, but I don't know if it's that cool.
Just rate it. Just rate it then.
Just smack it in the middle of the 5.
Oh, a 5? Okay, so 12. Okay, at least I did better than last time.
Yeah, you're getting better. It's only up now.
It's only up now, like they say.
It's only up now. Okay, so as we were talking about the Jean Valjean's soliloquy scene, they allowed him in that scene. Are we laughing because she's just chewing ice in the microphone right now?
Yeah.
No, please do it right into the microphone now. Thank you. So they allowed Hugh Jackman in the soliloquy scene. They didn't choreograph that scene. They just gave the cameraman a Steadicam, and they were like, he's going to do whatever, just follow him. Rate that fact.
Can I rate it first?
Yeah.
I'm giving that a 9, man.
Ooh.
That was a good fact. Because here's the thing. We were watching it yesterday, and I thought, like, man, that cameraman's putting in some work.
I thought, oh, it looks like he's about to run into the cameraman.
Yeah. Yeah. All these things. And so when I was watching it, I thought, like, man, that must have taken a lot of, like, work beforehand to figure out how they were going to do that. Because that's a small space that he's in. Like,
it's like a bus.
Yeah. Is he in a bus?
Yeah.
The magic school bus.
I rate that fact. He's in the magic school bus.
But yeah, I'm going to give that a 9 because you answered a question of mine, basically.
You're welcome.
Read my mind and gave me some information that I was longing for.
Well, I would like to remind you that all these facts any 9-year-old could find on IMDb.
That's right.
So we've heard. Yeah. Anyways, Elise, what do you think of that fact?
It was taking me a while to remember that scene, but I got it. I got it in my noggin. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to give it a 9 as well.
I have no words. Don't let me down.
Just
this is your favorite song, Catherine. Come on.
Well, James, I feel like I could go two ways with this.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
On one hand, I already knew this fact. And I was scared to bring it up earlier because I was scared it was going to be a fact.
And guess what?
How did you know this fact? You just read it somewhere?
No, I actually knew this before I ever saw it for the first time. And I think I was like in high school. Was that when I was in high school? Uh-huh. And I think that's why I was so impressed with it the first time I saw it, is because I was like, oh, wow. If I rate it that way, like, I already knew this, then this wouldn't be a very high score.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm still super impressed.
Me too.
So I could give you a really high score if I do like that.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I guess because you're like my bro-in-law, I'll give you a 1. I'm just kidding. I'll give you a 10.
Oh, a 10.
A 10, yeah.
Oh, sweet. Wow.
I win.
That might be your highest.
You win.
I win. Be your highest.
That took a turn. I did
time.
Not expect that to happen.
No, I've gotten a 10 before. Don't be silly.
No, but the 3 totals.
Yeah, 28.
You've never gotten anything that high.
Okay, so I've got a few more facts here. One of them I told these two yesterday. Do you know what I'm about to say?
Nope.
Well, this is a fun game then. Guess my fact.
Ooh. Let's think of everything James said yesterday.
There was a moment in... I'll give you a clue.
Okay.
Please.
There was a moment where I was saying, did you see that? Hey, wait. You weren't paying attention. Hey, look at that.
I got it.
Did you see that? Can you guess what that is?
I got it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Tell me what my fact is.
Catherine, do you want to do the honors?
Okay. The some kind of like...
This is good.
Wompy building.
Wompy?
Wompy.
Wompy jawed building.
Wompy jawed?
Yeah, y'all never heard that.
No.
That's what they say. When something's like wompy.
When something's wompy, they call it wompy. Mm-hmm.
It's like in the middle. It's where the people doing the revolution, their little hideout building. It's the same as
yes.
Hogwarts.
No.
Nope. I mean,
nope.
Harry Potter.
Well,
it's the same as Harry Potter. Gringotts. There you go. So, does that make sense, Elise?
I'm with you.
Do you remember that scene?
Nope.
I remember.
Oh, wait. In Les Mis or in Harry Potter?
In Les Mis. Well, I mean, both, I guess. But Les Mis.
Not Harry Potter as much, but definitely Les Mis since I just watched that.
Yeah. So, this is the building where the guy actually ends up falling out the window. And just like hanging there, that is Gringotts Bank from Diagon Alley. Very interesting. If you watch it and go back, rate it.
Rate it.
Rate it, Nathan.
I was interested in that because I was wondering once again. I was like, why does that building look wompy jawed?
I know you've heard me say that before.
I've never heard you say that.
I think we were all wondering that.
But yeah, I was wondering that. And once again... You had answered my question. I'm going to give that an N9. No.
Another 9?
8.5.
8.5. I got excited too soon. Catherine, what did you think of that when I said that yesterday?
I thought it was neat because I thought that building just was fake looking. Like when I saw it, I just thought, why is it fake?
Yeah. It feels like they're on a set.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's cool. I think that's really neat. And I'll give it.
Hey. Keep going.
A lot of build-up.
This is really
hard. Really revving it up.
Raising that pitch.
An 8.
8. Mm. All right. So 8 and an 8.5. Elise?
I'm going to give it a 7.9.
Okay.
Mm.
Not a Harry Potter fan?
I am. Just, you know, just doesn't strike me.
I do have more facts, but I'm going to do them like this. We're going to do a fact or faked. Elise, why don't you give us that theme song?
Fact or faked.
Now that's a fact. Baby. Guys, I'm going to give you 3 facts. One of them's not a true. It's a little fake. It's not a true.
It's not a true.
It's bless a you. Lie.
Oh, boy.
So your goal is to guess which one is the not true. Are you guys ready?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Here is your first fact or fate. Russell Crowe is rumored to have been drunk during the filming of Javert's suicide song. Why are you laughing?
Keep going.
Okay, so that is your first fact. Here is your second fact. Hugh Jackman bought a lottery ticket for all the extras that took part in the Les Mis cast to say thank you.
That's weird.
That is your second fact. Your third fact. According to an interview between Hugh Jackman and Anne Hathaway, Samantha Banks, who played Eponine, has a weird vocal exercise. She would meow in different pitches and frequencies.
That's pretty common.
Is it?
Meowing?
Meowing?
Yeah.
Meowing?
Yeah.
Like you,
that's
like
not a meow.
That's not a meow.
Well,
she would meow.
But yeah, I mean, I believe that.
Those are your three. You've got Drunk Javert, Hugh Jackman buying lotto tickets, and Samantha Banks, or Barks. What's her name? Samantha Barks.
That can't be right.
Samantha Barks is meowing? That doesn't sound right. Okay, so discuss. I need you guys. I want to hear your
yawns. Right into the microphone.
I don't know if you've noticed, but I've been yawning all day. Wait, how many is true and how many is not true?
There, just one's not true.
There's okay. One not true.
The yawn is contagious.
Okay, I don't know. So you guys.
Yes. Oh, I don't know. Well,
I gotta hear your thoughts.
Immediately doesn't know.
I laughed at the Javert thing. All I could think was like, nah, I feel like he would have done better drunk. So
initially
I was like that. I feel like that must not be true because he probably should have been drunk. Maybe that's why he fell off the edge. He wasn't supposed to. He was just supposed to be sing.
That's what I was gonna say.
Just sing a song about being like, gosh, I can't believe I let him get away.
I think that maybe he would take the approach of being drunk so as to look more ratchet and such.
Ratchet, yes. Javert's goal.
So
to be ratchet.
I could see that. I could see that.
What was the second one?
Lotto ticket.
That one's just weird to me. I mean, it could be true because it's so weird, but it also could be totally false because it's just too much.
Those are the two options. It could be true or it could be false.
It's a guessing game. I'm leaning towards that one being not true.
What? Yeah, why wouldn't he give him something that doesn't suck?
Unless,
like, if you got lottery tickets from like a grandma on Christmas, you'd be like, why did you get me this?
Yeah, but it's not a grandma. It's Hugh Jackman.
I get that.
Giving it to the extras, not even the real cast.
I know, giving it to the extras, but it's either...
He didn't have to give them anything.
I know, but it literally could have been like, here, I gave this one without knowing it $5, and I gave this one without knowing it something to throw away.
I'm not saying it's a good guess, or a good gift.
But I'm with Catherine. Cookies would have been better.
Yeah, cookies.
But could it have been like a... you know, had like a deeper meaning to it or prank. like they knew he was making thousands of dollars and...
It could have been. And he just wanted to make them lay miserable knowing that they made no money. And he's like, he purposefully got ones that he knew wouldn't win. And he's like, here, I got you guys lotto tickets. You might win $1 million, but I know you won't.
He got all of their hopes up.
Yeah. And the third one was...
The third one was her meowing.
Meow.
I feel like that's believable.
But it could be that she was making barking noises and James just changed barking to meow.
Yeah, that's why he got confused with the Samantha barks.
That's not the kind of fact I'd change, though.
Yeah, nobody would bark.
Russell Crowe must have done that exercise.
Okay, so I'm going to ask. Elise, what do you think the answer is?
I just don't feel like the lottery thing sits right with me, so I'm going to go with that.
Elise says lottery. Catherine?
I'm going to say the fake one is Russell Crowe being drunk, because I think he's a professional dude.
Okay. Nathan?
I'm also going to go with the drunk one, just not because he's a professional dude, but because I think he needed something and he didn't have it.
Once again, you're saying you just wish he was drunk?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, well, Elise, you are wrong.
Burn.
Hugh Jackman actually did buy a lottery ticket.
I knew he would.
Do you have like a story or reason behind it?
He wanted to say thank you to the extras. The end.
By giving the majority of them trash.
I don't think, like I said, guys, I think he didn't have to give them anything. So
one of them could have won, and that would have been awesome.
Exactly. You guys are correct, though. The false one was... Russell Crowe was not drunk. He actually, like, they made them not drink since they are singing live. They made them not drink during the filming. So he actually, I can't remember who he bought somebody a big thing of, like, whiskey when they were done filming.
Probably
one of his
boy.
Co-stars. Yeah, it was
Gavroche.
Yeah, that was it. Russell Crowe's in jail now. No, and then Samantha Banks, I swear it's Banks. I don't know why I have Barks written down.
I'm going to fact check that.
She did. She
it's
would
Barks.
Be, It's Barks.
It is? Mm-hmm.
So Barks would meow, guys.
Hmm.
I should have said that. Everybody would have guessed that was the fake
one. Yeah. Yeah.
Barks meows. Here's something interesting about her. She was on a reality show in England. The reality show was to pick who would be Nancy in Oliver, or like a reproduction of the musical Oliver.
Hmm.
The show was called I'd Do Anything. And that was like her like gateway into becoming famous. Like Andrew Lloyd Webber hosted the show, or he was on the show. Graham Norton hosted the show. Since then, she has been like performing in other plays, and eventually she got the role of Eponine.
Why wasn't that one of your facts?
Because I had to freaking talk about her meowing first.
I would have given that a solid 10.
Feel free. Guys, anybody else want to rate that one?
No.
No, they don't care.
Okay. I liked it. I thought it was good.
The priest in Les Mis.
Oh, that movie.
Is played by, I don't remember his name, but he was the original Jean Valjean in Broadway. I don't know where they originally did it, but
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he was, and they got him to play the priest because they thought that'd be cool tie in there.
I rate that a 10.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I think he's my favorite character.
The priest?
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
He just does a good job.
Mm-hmm.
I'm mad that we all gave you 10s on that. Even me. You got a you got a 30 with your random priest fact.
I have an actual question for everybody. What is like the one theme or like one thing that stuck out the most to you? What did you learn? Just what happened?
What happened
to your heart and stuff?
Nathan? Actually, no, I'll start. I'll let Nathan cut because I feel like Nathan has the deepest connection with this movie.
I've seen it some.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean. You've seen it a lot. Yeah. So I feel like when I first saw it, I left the theater feeling hopeful. Like they give you this weird sort of hope, even though a lot of people die. I don't know. It's just a huge theme of it is hope, I think. That's what I take away from it.
Hopefulness.
Because it's like you've seen all this horrible stuff happen, and there's like this glimmer of light at the end where you're just like, maybe.
That's a good answer.
Catherine, what do you think? Please say something better than what I said.
I don't know that I will, but I think it's like you have to fight for what you believe in kind of thing, even with Hugh Jackman, his character, like because of what the priest did, he decided he wasn't going to be, you know, a convict anymore, and he was going to like actually do something with his life, and ended up being the mayor and everything. And then you see the people fighting for the revolution and everything, and giving their lives for that, and you know, they don't get to really see the fruit of that, but like at the end you see kind of hope of what's going on. And I think just to me, I got this feeling of like fighting really hard and caring about what you care about.
That's a good one too. Fighting for what you care about. One of my favorite songs, Red and Black, or the Cafe
ABC Cafe.
That to me is like that type of song where it's just like they're all talking about like, what are we doing this for? And that's why I love that song. Elise, what about you? What does this mean to you?
You know, for me, I just kept going back to the very beginning where the priest takes him in, and then he steals from him, and he gets caught, and he says, "Nah, you forgot the candlesticks, man." And just like how he went out of his way to show kindness even to somebody who robbed him, that started the course of his changing and his character development and all that jazz. Mm-hmm. And I think it's shown in other parts of the movie too, but how one person can affect so much change. Or just can affect someone else. And then, like, you see what all Jean Valjean does. And it's like, it all kind of comes back to that moment when he did decide to turn his life around. And I think the priest instigated that. He showed him that, like, there was kindness in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's kind of what, like, domino affected everything else.
I just haven't seen this a bunch of times and listened to it a bunch of times. It seems like the main thing that's going on with just about everyone is them like wrestling with who they really are. You see that with Valjean at the beginning. He's like, nope, this is who I am, so I'm just going to go back to it. And then, you know, the priest, you know, intersects that, and then he has to decide, okay, that's not who I really am. I'm going to strive after who I really should be, and that is a person that's affecting change and being graceful to people and merciful and all that stuff. And then you've got Javert, who thinks that who he really is someone who has to bring justice constantly. Mm-hmm. So even though he's shown grace, he still feels like he can't let go of justice. And that's why he ends up killing himself at the end, is when he shows mercy to Jean Valjean, he feels like, I didn't bring justice in that situation, so I know I can bring justice to myself, because that's who I am supposed to be, and I've let myself down, and I've let my country down, I've let my uniform down, so I can take care of that, and I can bring justice there. And then you've got Eddie Redmayne's character, who's a rich kid, acting like a poor kid, trying to fight the revolution, like he doesn't get the benefits of being rich, and he's wrestling with that. And that's why I think he's so torn, while everyone else is like, I'm in this war. He's like, me too. But like, this girl's pretty awesome. It's because he's not fully bought in, and he's wrestling with like, am I really in this war? Am I really with this?
Breach.
Cool. Well, guys, I think we need to rate this thing, because this has taken a long time.
Yeah.
That's right.
Just like Les Mis, just like the musical. In the spirit and the vein of this musical, we are just...
Depressing and long.
Yes.
Let's start with Catherine.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm interested in this because I just feel like she doesn't like it that much.
I kind of get that vibe too, but also I feel like she said every song's perfect, so...
That's true. So it's very contradictory.
I am conflicted, because I have trouble sitting through movies, even if they're not long movies. I have a really hard time with it. So then I think I would have to think back to the first time I saw it. And even then I remember like, holy crap, I didn't know this was so long. But
I think a lot of people think that.
I think I would give it like an 8, because I really do think that it was done really, really well. I think that it's so impressive the way they shot it. The way everything was recorded live, and I just really appreciate that. And every bit of the musical aspect, I really do like the songs. I love the themes. I love how they come back. I love what they, how obvious it is that they symbolize things. And I think the plot, even though it takes forever, I think it's really good. It's a really good story, and a really hopeful and inspiring story. And yeah, I think it has a huge impact on most people.
I think that's a solid rating. I'll go next because you gave it an 8. I think I'm going to give it an 8 as well. I do love the music. I think that the music to me fits the musical, the tone of the musical a lot. On top of that, just this version, the 2012 version, like you said, it was shot well. Just the way it was shot just felt, it fit, just everything was just so cohesive in this particular adaptation, despite Russell Crowe's singing, as we've discussed. So what would you rate this musical?
I don't feel as much like, I don't know if I could watch that very often, because I think that I typically, when I watch movies in general, and I think this musical is no different, I like whenever I feel something, because I think that's the whole point of it, really, of art.
Yeah.
As lame as that sounds. Is that you feel something.
As lame as that sounds.
Yeah. And so I feel like it makes me feel sad a lot, but also hopeful. And I'm like, I like that this can make me feel that way because it's a fake story. And they do it really well. And the music is really well done. The orchestration's awesome. And even the movie, most of the people knock it out of the park. Even the people that don't have the best voices act the crap out of it, except for Russell Crowe. Which is why I'm going to give this, because I'm specifically thinking of the movie version, I'm going to give it a 9.5. Because I really like it. I really like listening to it. I really like watching it. Except for Russell Crowe. He's that 0.5. He's that 0.5 right there.
That's all he's worth is a 0.5.
You're great, Russell, in Gladiator, and you're really intense, and it's cool watching you kill people and don't sing anymore, because that's the only reason I'm not giving this a 10.
Elise, what about you? This is fresh on your mind. Brand new experience. Brand new miserable experience.
Yes, freshly picked last night.
Freshly picked? Like an apple?
From the farm that is my mind.
Okay.
You created?
So anyways, I'm going to give it an 8.5. I think the story is really great. I think there's a lot of really interesting themes and lessons. I like when there are a couple different characters and you get a feel for what each character is all about and like what their desires are, what they dream for. Mm. My biggest disappointment was Russell Crowe, as stated. I also didn't like Hugh Jackman's voice very much. So I think that that is just very frustrating for me when in a world of talented people, we can't figure out how to combine singing and acting. It's very distracting and it kind of takes me out of it a little bit. You know, besides that, I think it's a great story. It's got some great life lessons. It's got a range of emotions, lots of things to feel. I think that's why you come away from it being like, yeah, but sad, you know?
Yeah.
Combination. But I think I thought it was great.
All right. Well, guys, I think thank you for being here.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
I think this is going to wrap it up for us. Guys, next week we are doing Willy Wonka. And guys, I'm hoping we can find out if he Wonka's or not. Willy Wonka? Won't he Wonka? Find out next time. She is dumbfounded right now by it.
Shocked. How long were you sitting on that?
Oh, pretty much all day.
That's uncomfortable.
Yeah. I'm excited about that episode. But anyways, the end of this one, right? Am I right,
amen,
guys?
Amen.
Let's go to bed. Did I say thanks for being here already?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm delirious right now.
This is going great.
I know.
So good.
So guys, thanks for being here for the eighth time. You know, I hope that you guys enjoy the rest of your evening and your future and life in general.
Thanks so much.
Amen. All right, guys. Well, that's going to be it for We Really Like Musicals. Oh, Nathan's doing the theme song.
Hey, that's nice.
And now that's going to do it for us at We Really Like Musicals, and we have opinions about them, so we made this podcast to tell you our opinions about them, parentheses, the musicals. I'm James.
And I'm Elise.
And bye.
2, 4, 6, 0, 1.
Musicals.